Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined once again by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it going?
It's going good. I had some leftover pasta. I had some cheesy garlic bread. I'm ready to go.
Well, we're a day late, but never a dollar short here on Jumping Bomb Audio. Back again, a day later than you would usually have us, but that's okay. Oh, I was just wondering why I sound so horrible. And the reason is my microphone fell over.
Oh.
There we go. Do I sound much better now? Maybe we should start the whole show over again.
You know, no, I think we should leave it how it is. I like it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
I was wondering why I sounded like I was in a freaking far away. And the funny thing was my mic had fallen down.
I thought it was just my shitty headphones.
Okay.
But you, okay, so maybe these aren't as shitty as I thought they were.
I guess so. I guess, sorry, I was gaslighting you about your headphones.
Yeah, no, now you sound good.
That was so odd. How did it not make a sound when it fell over? Is my question.
The sound of the phone falling down.
I know my voice so well. That was like something's not right. I can't wait for no one to get here after they switch off when they go, the audio on this episode is terrible.
This was my first time trying this show.
Yeah. Episode 155, that's the time to get into it.
Name the episode New Listener Friendly.
New Listener Special. If you haven't got into it, now is the time.
Yeah.
To get into Jumping Bomb Audio.
We've never been better than we are right now.
I mean, every episode we're better than, you know.
Yeah.
Better than our best, to quote an old Ring of Honor show, right? That was a Ring of Honor show.
Yes, it definitely was.
What was the main event of Better Than Our Best?
I'm going to guess.
Want to take any guesses?
Bryan Danielson versus Roderick Strong for the title.
I think you might be right, weirdly. Because I think it was a Danielson.
I feel like that might just be something that's stuck in my brain, and I think I might be right on that.
Oh, no. I do remember this show. I think I have this show on my shelf. No. Better Than Our Best, weirdly, was not main evented by Bryan Danielson.
Okay.
It is at an 8.97 on Cage Match, I should just say. Bryan Danielson was in the semi-main event.
Okay.
Defending the Ring of Honor world title, so we were in the right period.
Yep.
Against Lance Storm. That was that show.
Oh, okay.
Now, based on that, can you guess the main event?
Oh, I don't remember the main. Because I would have sworn that the Danielson... If you had told me that there was the Danielson-Lance Storm match, I would have said, yeah, that main. I don't remember what the main event was then.
Now I'm trying to figure out, is this the match I think it is, or is this a different match? It must be. I believe this was the blow-off to the Homicide Colt Cabana feud.
Oh, the Chicago Street Fight?
The Chicago Street Fight.
Okay, yeah.
Over the use of the N-word between friends, question mark? I don't think they were friends. I think that was the whole reason why. Right? That was the beginning of the feud, right?
I don't remember this.
I thought the beginning of the feud was backstage. Colt Cabana in a way that he was attempting, I think, to be friendly, used the N-word around Homicide, who got very upset.
It would have actually been funny if Homicide had used the N-word and Colt Cabana got really mad about it.
I think that was the beginning, and then there was the middle point, which was the Drano.
Yep.
That was the middle, and I think this was the blow off.
I think
hilarious
it was
to call this better than our best. I mean, the semi main event. What do you call the third match from the top?
Or
the second match from the top?
I would just say third from the top.
Was Austin Aries and Roderick Strong against Shima and Naruki Doi.
Oh, what an interesting match to main event that card.
Well, right, and then to call it better than our best.
Because like, better like, than our best makes sense for those two matches.
Fourth from the top, four-corner survival match. Samoa Joe defeats AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and... Jimmy
Jack
Wang.
Evans?
Jimmy Damn. Wang Yang.
Oh, okay.
I was looking at that match going, whoa, what a match. And then Jimmy Wang Yang is out. unfortunately. Masato what? Yoshino and the Embassy defeat the Do Fixer trio of Dragon Kid, Genki Horiguchi, and Ryo Saito. So, like, the rest of it does make sense as better than our best, except for being main evented by a Chicago Street Fight blood feud ender.
Yeah. Interesting.
And a lot of dark matches. Five dark matches?
Well, you got to get the Young Lions out there.
I guess that's true. Although,
is Bobby Dempsey on there?
Both Bobby and Derek.
Yes.
Derek Dempsey defeating Pelle Primeau in the Ring of Honor Top of the Class Trophy title match.
Oh my God, it was so much better back then.
Claudio Castagnoli defeating Chad Collier. Smash Bradley defeating Rhett Titus. Flash Flanagan defeating Bobby Dempsey, and in the single women's match, Alice in Danger, Daisy Hayes, and Mischief defeating cheerleader Melissa Lacey and Rain.
Damn, they put them all in there.
Yeah, they were like, we're only doing one of these things.
They're like, we got our collection of women. We're throwing them out in some combination. Here you go.
This is only a 12-match card. We don't have any more room for it. Anyway, that was a tangent. Anyway.
I remember thinking, like, I couldn't tell you a judge of her wrestling now, but I remember thinking that Lacey was so good. And I feel like that was just my low expectations at that point.
You mean in ring wise?
Yeah.
Or just generally?
In ring.
Oh. I don't even remember. Because everyone else got covered up by it was like, oh, Sarah Del Rey is the good one.
Yeah. I feel like I can say Daisy Hayes was good. I think I feel like, confident enough in that.
Yeah. Once a couple years ago, I was like, oh, I'm going to do a full Shimmer watch because they launched a streaming service that had them all on there.
Oh.
Or a lot of them. And that didn't go very far. not because of skill, because of my inability to keep up with things that I want to do. I think it would be very interesting to look back. Also would be interesting to get back to Joshi. A lot of Joshi wrestlers on those Shimmer shows all over the place, very young.
Yep.
I just saw a picture. I think Dave Prazak posted of a six-person match with Kyori Oniyama, Tsukasa Fujimoto, a bunch of people, and I was like, oh, they all look like children.
Yep.
Which was interesting. Anyway.
I remember thinking when AEW launched that I hoped Tony Khan would hire Dave Prazak and just let him run the women's division.
Yeah, I think that would have been a good idea, but what can you do? Who's your AEW? I was thinking about this today, weirdly. If you could put one person had to have one match in AEW, they would never have a match again. They would not factor into any AEW plans. Who would it be?
Like
just to see them and be like a person who doesn't wrestle anymore.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like I'm trying to get you to guess my person, but I'm not really.
So it can be anybody. Are we talking specifically Joshi?
No. Anyone, because mine is not Joshi.
Oh yeah, then mine is my dream match of Onita versus Mox and exploding barbed wire.
Oh sure. I mean that's a logical one. Mine's illogical. Mine is Monty Brown.
Okay. Okay.
Against, I don't really know.
Yeah.
I just want one more pounce.
Period. That would have been perfect for the fucking Max Caster gimmick.
Well, I think there were rumors for 1 week that were like, he might come back. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then he didn't. So let's get to Joshi.
Is Monty Brown on any of these shows?
On any Joshi shows?
Yeah.
Maybe he was in the audience. I can't say. I don't know where he is right now. So,
who on the Stardom roster would you most like to see wrestle Monty Brown?
I mean, it'd have to be like Bozilla, right?
I was going to say Bozilla's a good pick. I think I would go Rina Yamashita.
Oh, that would be fun. All right, let's get into it. Stop distracting me, Kelly. I have to read the plugs.
Oh, God, we haven't even gotten that far.
Yeah. Follow us on Blue Sky at JBomb Audio. Follow Kelly at Comic Kelly. Follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. And before we get started, we are in the middle of summer. It's the height of the season. And what does the height of summer mean? It means baseball. So remember that MLB Shop is the ultimate destination for baseball fans. The official online store of Major League Baseball, MLB Shop, has everything you need to show your support for your favorite team. From jerseys and hats to collectibles and memorabilia, MLB Shop has a wide selection of merchandise for all 30 MLB teams. You can even customize your own jersey with your name and number, just like the pros. Shop by team, department, or player to find the perfect item for you. Want to show off your team pride at the game? Check out MLB Shop's officially licensed baseball hats and jerseys. Looking for a unique gift for the baseball fan in your life? Browse the selection of MLB memorabilia and collectibles like baseball cards. Whatever you're looking for, MLB Shop has it all. Shop today at voicesofwrestling.com/JBAMLB. That's voicesofwrestling.com/JBAMLB. Okay, what do you say we talk some Joshi?
I suppose so.
And what are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about Stardom.
Oh, maybe we should convert the show.
Into
a show about Joshi.
Oh, sure.
Instead of whatever we've been doing.
Stardom, the conversion from Yoyogi National Gymnasium number 2 on June 20th in front of 2,844 fans. Kelly, were you converted into liking the show or disliking the show?
I was converted into enjoying it. I had a good time. I don't think, like, it's not going to be like show of the year or anything, but I had a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. There were a few matches I very much enjoyed. I think it was certainly an interesting show. There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
As well. So that kept it up. As we get into it, I had some things. Well, I guess I had nothing. And I guess we'll just dive right into this. The pre-show, Kelly, did you watch the pre-show matches?
I did, though one of the matches I just didn't have any notes for.
Well, Kelly, let me tell you, the first three matches on this show, I have no notes.
Oh, tremendous.
I literally started the show. I watched the two pre-show matches. I thought, I have legitimately no thoughts on these. Maybe I'm in the wrong mental headspace. Took a break, came back, watched the official opening match, and still had no thoughts. And was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So I'll read the pre-show match results. Kelly, if you have anything to say, just stop me.
All right.
The first pre-show match, Yuta Mizumori defeating Motoya Mabe in 5 minutes and 47 seconds.
Stop. I completely forgot that Yuna had the high-speed title. I don't understand why you don't just run a quick title match here. You know? Like, it's the high-speed title. Come on.
Well, she would have won anyway.
Exactly.
She won the match.
Yeah, just pad out the fucking title reign. Who cares?
Look, Kelly, you can't be having any just random person off the street challenge for this very prestigious title.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do it.
Okay, continue.
The next pre-show match, Mei Sierra defeated Emma Mashima in 9 minutes and 10 seconds. Okay. The first match proper on the show, Aya Sakura defeating Ann Kanaya in 7 minutes and 19 seconds.
I liked that. I don't really have much to say about it, but I enjoyed that match. I went 3 stars.
Then, Kelly, wait till you hear my great insightful notes on this 3-way tag match, where the God's Eye duo of Kyoko Kotatsu and Rani Yagami defeated Koguma and Micah and the Mi Vida Loca duo of Akira Kirigane and Itsuki Aoki in 5 minutes and 31 seconds. My single note on this, I'm getting a slightly better. This one had lots of bits.
Yeah, it did have a lot of bits.
That was my only note.
Yeah, no, a lot of Koguma bits, a lot of bear stuff. I enjoyed this fine, but like it felt like it just got going as it ended, so I was kind of disappointed.
It was at this point I thought maybe this will be the show after 154 episodes where I just have no thought on anything that happens. I've finally been defeated.
Yeah.
By just, I'm watching the show, it's all fine, and I have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was the Artists of Stardom title match and the God's Eye trio of Amisore, Hina, and Lady C retained the titles, defeating Kikyo Furusawa, Maki Ito, and Rion in 16 minutes and 2 seconds. Kelly, I think I may be the high man.
Oh.
On this match.
Where'd you go? 4 3/4?
I didn't go 4 3/4, no.
5?
No, I didn't go 5, no.
Oh. 6?
7 stars.
Oh.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was fine. The crowd was really into it. I thought the crowd was really good for this and really wanted Ito's team to win. And Stardom said, no, we will have God's Eye's most boring soldiers win. But overall, I did enjoy it. I just went 3 1/4 on it. I hated it.
Wow. Yeah, I was way above you. And like I said, I think I was way above everyone. I went, I thought it rocked. I really liked this. I was like, oh, this is the best setting for Ito when she doesn't do any comedy, really. Like, they did the one thing where they were like, fuck off, and then they all hit moves or whatever they did.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay, I can take that. But it was sort of just no BS. I went 4 1/4 stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were a full star above me.
It was one of those matches where, I don't know, probably most of the way through, like 10 minutes through, I was like, oh, you know, I'm enjoying this little match, like 3 3/4 stars. Like, oh, that's good. And then it kept going and I kept enjoying it more. So then I was like, oh, this is like a 4-star match. And then I was like, oh, it's like 4 1/4 stars. It, to me, was the thing we talk about where it sort of got to, not to that top level, but like the Dragon Gate comp that always gets made where it's like, people just coming in, hitting things, going quickly.
Yeah.
Offense happening, like hitting each other hard. I thought it was all great. I had one note, which is, and I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to probably have to describe it. I don't like offensive move. A wrestler's hitting an offensive move that looks like it's against them for like 9/10 of the move.
Okay.
And the thing
yeah.
I was thinking about was Rion's weird, I don't even know what it was. It for a minute looked like she was being put into like a vertebraker, but then sort of spun over whoever's head she was working with. And then at the very last second was like, oh, it's a face buster. And I was like, is it? it was just very odd where it's like the long, it reminded me of not the move, but the sort of thing. One of my least favorite moves in all of wrestling, Kelly. Will be revealed right now.
Oh.
Yoshihashi does that fucking suplex neckbreaker where he like puts himself into a suplex and then lands on his feet and hits a neckbreaker. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
I hate that move.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what is the principle behind that move? Oh, I go up into a suplex, I land on my feet, I stand around for a second, and I hit a neckbreaker. Just hit the neckbreaker. You're not doing any, like, nothing is happening.
Yeah.
It would be like a move where you're like, I'm going to punch you, but before I punch you, I'm going to grab your hand and slam it into my chest, and then punch you in the face. Like, why would you do that? You wouldn't. It's stupid. And that was a move where halfway through the move, I was like, oh, what is this? And then I was like, oh, it's her hitting the move? Very odd. Found it very weird. It didn't really take away that much from the match. But I really liked this match. I thought it was really great. And I enjoyed myself a lot.
Nice.
Then, before we get to the next match, Tekla attacks. I found this segment very funny, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
First of all, Okada's making the announcement, which was fine. He was talking about the CMLL, which they made an announcement earlier in the show. I'm like, oh, this is follow-up. So it did make sense. She pops up behind, starts attacking him.
Tries to shave him in the process.
Yes. They start ringing the bell. I'm like, they're not even anywhere close to the, like, this has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And
well, I've always been under the impression that, like, the bell ringing is supposed to, like, alert other wrestlers to be like, hey, something is happening, you should come help.
I guess that does make more sense than them being like, to me, it has always felt like they're doing like a Pavlov thing where it's like, wrestlers will hear a bell and stop.
They're all Festus.
Because it's like, oh, I must do this. Hilarious for Tekla to say, to sort of get in the ring and brag by going like, I told you I could find you. And I'm like, what a genius thing you did going to the wrestling show that this man runs. Like, you solved it. You solved the mystery of where this person who works for this wrestling company might be. And then the third thing was the very American wrestling. Tekla's like, I'm going to spit on this logo. Starlight Kid's music hits. And she, first of all, pauses at the top of the ramp.
Yep.
And then just very casually makes her way down to the ring. I'm like, if you're preventing her from, like, she could have spit on that logo about 50 times.
Yeah.
If she wanted in the time that Starlight Kid very sort of casually made her way to the ring.
She's moved on to pooping by now.
I just found, I was like, okay, like, it's fine. You're setting up this Forbidden Door match, whatever. It was just all these things where it's like, do you think you're very smart doing all of this where it, like, doesn't really make sense? Like, I'll find you. Like, oh, you found him in the same place he's been since you left. Question mark. Anyway. And then immediately after that, we had the announcement of the 5-star Grand Prix blocks. 4 blocks, as it has been. The first block, Red Stars A, Micah, Sayaka Carrara, Rina, Tomoki Inaba, Itsuki Aoki, who got a huge pop.
Yeah, she did.
Being announced, which really surprised me. Azumi and Natsuka Tora. I mean, really an up and down block here. Mm-hmm. There will be good, and I think there will also be bad.
Yep.
Is my opinion on this block. Red Stars B, Konami, Sayada, Lady C, Azusa Inaba, Mei Sierra, Rina Yamashita, Maki Ito, and Utami. Uninteresting block. I said this later in a different match. Excited. Look, I know she's probably going to be the loss, take a lot of losses. Excited to see Azusa Inaba not as, like, the bottom flunky of hate.
Yeah.
In multi-person matches. Like, I'm like, is she good? I can't really tell. She only does one thing in Stardom.
She's good in, like, the JTO stuff.
It's like she plugs into a hate match when they're like, hey, we need one more hate member to complete this match. Oh, you can do it and do one or two things and then get out of here.
Yeah.
Blue Stars A, Aya Sakura, Hanako, Rion, Hina, Miyu Amasaki, Ruaka, B Priestley, Suzu Suzuki. What do you think about this, Kelly?
It's probably the block I'm least excited about.
there could be some real dogs in this.
Yeah.
In this block. I'm like, ooh, ups and downs.
Where are my dogs at? They in B, blue, or blue A.
Blue A. Because Blue Stars B.
Yeah, Blue B is awesome.
Starlight Kid, Hanan, Yuna Mizumori, Koguma, Amisore, Sayakamatani, and Momo Watanabe. To me, the best block, right?
Easy, yeah.
Probably blue, what would I say it would be? Blue B, red B, red A, blue A?
Yep, that's exactly what I would go with.
Okay. So that will be starting soon, but not yet, because we still have half a show to get to. The next match was an 8-woman tag team match. The Cosmic Angels duo of Natsupoi and Sierra Yano teaming with Fuachan and Hazuki to defeat the Hate Quartet, Azusa Inaba, Fukigen Death, Natsukatora, and Ruaka. I mean, what do you think I'm going to say about this Hate Squad D match? You know, D Squad match.
Like, for what it was, I thought it was fairly inoffensive, and that is the best, the most like sparkling praise I could give this.
Kelly loves to go death.
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing.
Death, death, Fukigen, death.
Yeah, it's funny every time.
Just gets everyone. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
Frankly. Is my review of that. The next match was a singles match. Xena defeating Hanako in 10 minutes and 18 seconds. I thought this was fine. I sort of was like, hey, what's up with this? And then after the match, I figured out what's up with it. Xena announcing that she will be leaving Stardom August 8th, I believe, which is a Korakuen, which is her final show. Good friends with Hanako, so was happy to have the final match. But I would say really here, not much to write home about.
I liked it. I thought it was a solid mid-card hoss match. I will say it did bum me out because I was like, man, maybe they're going to do something with Xena finally. And then she's like, I'm leaving. And I was like, well, there goes that.
The next match was another 8-woman tag team match. Neo Genesis, Azumi, Miyu Amasaki, and Starlight Kid teaming with Utami to defeat the Hate A Squad? Question mark?
Yeah.
Of B Priestley, Konami, Momo Watanabe, and Sayakamatani. Really crazy to be like, hey, Stardom's doing really well. They're moving along, and then be like, oh, and then they're just going to add Utami and bring back Momo from injury. Like, whoa, they've got a lot of people. I like this match. I think I was more interested in it from sort of the next story perspective rather than, like, the in-ring was good, but it clearly was set up to be like, hey, here's the next big Stardom story that's going to happen, which is the Saya, Momo, Utami stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, just being like, oh, did I like it as a sort of standalone match? It's like, well, I don't know that it really matters, even though it was solidly worked. What did you think, Kelly?
I did feel bad for Momo because they're like, oh, it's her big return match, and everyone's just like, get out of the ring. We want to see Utami and Saya. And they did not disappoint. Their interactions are great. I thought the elbow strikes they were throwing sounded crazy. And I was really actually surprised to see Utami just pin Saya pretty clean, aside from getting kicked by Momo. So I thought this was like the perfect match to head into intermission with, because a lot happened. It gave you a lot to think about and talk about if you're at the show. So like, this was the perfect match to kind of leave off on for a break. I really enjoyed it. I went 3¾.
Then we got to the business end of the card with the three title matches. The first one, the IWGP Women's title match, Siri defeating Rina Yamashita in 21 minutes and 18 seconds. I like this one. I like the finishing sequence a lot. I thought it got better as it went on. A lot of shoot headbutts on this show.
Yeah.
I was shocked to see. I like this. I like the finish of the submission. I thought that was really cool. I went 4 stars. I thought it was, you know, I think the winner was not in doubt, although maybe the main event would have said, well, you never quite know.
Yeah.
But I was very doubtful that Shuri was going to drop the title here, which maybe took a little of the interest off. But I thought it was very good. 4 stars. Kelly, what did you think?
I loved this. I went 4.5. It was really cool to see Rina get this kind of spot on the show and show, hey, she's really fucking good. And it's not just like as a deathmatch wrestler or whatever. She's just a good wrestler. This was a Dudes Rock Ladies Edition match, and it was great. I really like having this title on Siri because it just gives her an excuse to go out and have cool matches with people every once in a while. Without like, oh, this is the doing this thing or there's the feud. It's just like, no, it's just we're doing this title match. Come have a cool match with me. So I thought they really over-delivered here. I had a great time with this. Like I said, I went 4.5. This was my favorite match of the show.
Then in the semi-main event, we had the Wonder of Stardom title match. Hanan, the champion, defeating Saeeda in 19 minutes and 36 seconds. I think I'm also going to be the high man or higher on this match. I thought it was good. I went 4 stars. I think part of it is I really like Ida. I like her offense. I thought a lot of this was really hard hitting. The finish did annoy me because I really hate when like roll-up finishes are fine, but I hate the roll-up finishes where it's like, we're fighting. It's tooth and nail. We're never going to give up. And then there's a roll-up and the person getting pinned makes no attempt to get out of the pin. It's like just still. It's like I'm being pinned and I'm going to lay as still as possible. And I was like, oh, it's a bummer that this match sort of ends without Ida being like, oh, I'm trying to get out of this last pin. It was just sort of like, well, this is the pin and you're pinned and that's it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's sort of a bummer. But I thought it was hard hitting, you know, didn't really get to that next level. But, you know, two wrestlers I like, I enjoyed the match. So I went 4 stars.
What if I told you that you're not the high man on this match?
Oh.
I am. I went 4.25.
Wow.
I thought this was good. They found so many fun, unique, and scary ways to dump Saya on her head. She got tossed around so much and took a lot of crazy bumps. But hey, she also threw so many crazy-sounding chops and lariats. And I kind of did. I liked the roll-up just because they were both going for it earlier, and I think it calls back to a story from previous in their careers. So I thought that was fun, but like I do agree with you that I would have liked to have seen Saya like actually try to get out of it. But yeah, I thought this was great, and I liked seeing these two in such a prominent position on the card.
And then in the main event, we had a shocking result. I think I can say that. Would you agree, Kelly?
Oh, 100%.
Suzu Suzuki defeating the champion, Sayaka Karara, in 21 minutes and 32 seconds to win the World of Stardom title. It's so funny that I was enjoying the match. I wasn't crazy about it, but I was liking it. But almost like the minute Suzu won, all my thoughts about the match like got deleted out of my brain. I was like, oh, okay. A fascinating result.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I really like the result. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe this will turn out to be the biggest mistake Stardom's ever made. I don't think it will, but I just like the idea of a reminder of, and I have talked about this on the show before, I think, like anything can happen. You need some of these things where it's like anything can happen, because it does feel, especially in a promotion like Stardom, although also in other promotions as well, that there are times when it's like, okay, this person is the champion. They have no chance of losing the title in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
But they're going to defend the title 5 times. And it's like, great, those matches can be great, but there should be an element, and you're not going to do it every time, but an element of like, who's going to win? I'm interested to know who's going to win. And for a lot of time, you know, we talked about this, I think back when Julia was a champion or something, where it was like, well, clearly they're building to X versus Y.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in the interim is going to matter at all to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be this, or you might get, you know, oh, I've held the title for 6 months. Oh, I have a big match where I can lose it. I don't lose it. Okay. It's going to be another 6 months, because we got to build someone else up and they've got to be an obvious winner. Like, I think it's really exciting to be like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. And I have no idea what's coming next. Suzu, and we'll talk about in a second, her next match, could lose it very fast.
Yeah, I'm really wondering if she is just a transitional champion.
Like, could lose it very fast? Would I be slightly disappointed in the idea that it was like, oh, we want to get the title from here to here without doing, like, from A to C without doing A versus C? Like, yes, because then it's like, oh, we just did this because we're, you know, sort of moving the chess pieces around. But I don't know. I think it makes it very interesting. And I think, you know, between Stardom, Tokyo Joshi, now Tokyo Joshi hasn't gone this far in the direction that Stardom has gone, but like a year ago, 2 years ago, if you're like, hey, summer 2026, the champions in Stardom and Tokyo Joshi are Yuki Arai and Suzu Suzuki, you'd probably be like, what? Huh? Like, it's interesting. It's interesting to me in a way that isn't, sometimes it can seem very processional where it's like, okay, we're going to have 4 shows. Nothing's really going to change. And now it's this big show where anything can change. Oh, that's really exciting. I'm like, I want that feeling on every show.
Yeah.
It's
convert
hard to do.
Our feelings.
Yeah, it's hard to do, but that's what you get paid for. Figure it out. So I just thought it was a fun, super fun end to the show. Super interesting. Made me think. So, you know, I don't think I'll look back and say, wow, the in-ring stuff was my favorite. It certainly is a cool moment that I really enjoyed. So that's really my thoughts on the quote-unquote match.
Would you like to hear my conspiracy theory?
Oh, sure.
My theory is that after the Ito match, they got spooked because Ito got so much support in that match. I think they wanted to take the title off Kurara before the crowd turned on her. If they would see her almost like as a John Cena type, where it was just she was constantly getting pushed and the crowd was just like, I don't know about this anymore. So I think they took the belt off her before that could happen, which I think is smart if that is in fact what they were doing. But even so, I really like having the title on Suzu. Like, that's I never saw it coming. I got the results spoiled for me because I opened Instagram that morning because I was like, well, there's nothing that I have to worry about getting spoiled for me. Everything's gonna go exactly as it should. And I saw Suzu holding the trophy and with the bell. I was like, what the fuck?
I was not spoiled, and it was very shocking. Yeah, I mean, it could be that they were like, hey, let's take a chance, and we're like, uh oh, we think this might not work. You know, I don't know if they would do that just because it feels a very like, oh, we're abandoning this person that clearly they are invested in.
See, I don't even think it's abandoning. I think it's, yeah, I don't know if she's ready for this yet. And I think you kind of have to get a little bit more seasoning in her.
But I don't think you do this unless you're like, okay, the step, like this is step two and step three and four and five are this. Where like, Ito's very popular. Let's change that. I mean, I guess we'll see. Maybe she plummets down the card and we're like, hey, remember when she had the title? Wasn't that really weird? It just feels very quick. It's like, oh, people could turn. I mean, Ito is also extremely popular.
Yeah. But also, by that token, the crowd was very behind Suzu in this match. And they popped huge when she won.
Yeah, so maybe it is that. But, I mean, we'll have to see. It's one of the interesting ideas of what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other conspiracy is Utami came back and one of the conditions was like, I'm coming back and I want the title within 6 months.
Yeah.
Like that could, do I think that happened? I don't know. I'm not saying that that's what she would do, but based on the way things are going, and of course, there's a match happening that will have happened by the time this episode comes out. So some of this discussion will look foolish. Or maybe won't look foolish. Maybe I'll look like a genius.
Oh, God. Yeah, it is happening. I didn't realize that show was all so soon. Fuck.
Yes. So don't know. We're sort of, you know, guessing here. And everyone who listens to this will be like, we know. And aren't you stupid for guessing?
Look, I'm putting on my dunce cap already, okay?
But yes, I think it boils down to, anyway, whatever is happening, it's very interesting.
Yep.
I think the most interesting thing is Suzu beats Utami, because then I'm like, truly, what is going on?
Yeah. I think what you do, you have her beat Utami, then you bring in Tekla, and you bring back the one thing all the Stardom fans loved. That's right. Ice Ribbon lore.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is Stardom, the conversion. But there was some other Stardom action. Kelly, I know you did watch the show. I didn't watch the show. So do you want to talk about AEW Forbidden Door?
Yes, I converted and stepped through the Forbidden Door. There was two Stardom matches or Stardom-related matches on the show. On the pre-show, Micah defeated Sky Blue in a Survival of the Fittest qualifier match. I truly did not expect Micah to win here, so it was a nice surprise. Thought this was just going to be Sky Blue gets a win over someone the crowd doesn't know. But hey, the crowd was pretty into Micah. So maybe she'll stick around a little bit. It's not like she's really doing much in Stardom at the moment.
That's Ring of Honor superstar Micah you're talking about.
True. Yes. Sorry.
Saying the audience isn't familiar. All the Ring of Honor fans.
Yeah. All those people that love making sure they come to the show early and then stay like 3 hours late or whatever. And then on the main show, you had the AEW women's title match, Tekla defeating Starlight Kid. This was awesome. This was a really good match. And I'm really happy they got a bunch of time. I think I liked this more than any match Tekla had in Stardom. Like I thought it was great. Really kind of felt personal between the two of them. The crowd was super hot. At one point, Tekla got just squashed by Starlight Kid's knees in the moonsault. It looked like it sucked so bad. Just right into her stomach. And then after the match, Tekla ripped off Starlight Kid's mask and hit Taro Okada with it, and he sold it like he had just been shot. She just kind of bopped him with the mask and he went down, like clutching his chest. It was amazing. I went 4.25 on the match. I think it's well worth checking out.
All right. Well, what else has been happening in the world of Joshi Marigold? Our favorite promotion had a Corican Hall show on the 20th of June. Two title matches, the Marigold Twin Star titles, the champions, the Twin Towers.
I really don't like that. The stylization with just the W's capitalized.
I believe that's how Twin Towers. well, it's not Twin Towers, to be fair. I'm saying it wrong. Twin Tower.
Yeah.
Chika Goto and Twin Koke Amore.
Tour.
Chika Goto and Koke Amore successfully defending their titles against Mai Sakurai and Natsumi Shozuki, and Miko Aono defending the Marigold World title against Nightshade. In Seedling, Ayame Sasamura had her first successful defense of the Beyond the Sea title, defeating Hinori Hana. Ice Ribbon had their 20th anniversary show. There was a Fantast Ice Triangle Ribbon title three-way match. So Akane Fujita, Tsukina Umino, and Arisa Shinose went to a 15-minute time limit draw. Now, that means Umino keeps the Fantast Ice title, but Fujita loses the Triangle title because on a time limit draw, the champion loses the title in Triangle Ribbon matches.
That sucks.
We're going to have another odd title thing coming up in a second, but the International Ribbon tag team titles, Makoto and Sumika Yanagawa, the champions, defending successfully against Sakari Minami and Riko, and Kahu Matsushita defended the Ice Infinity title against Yuka. In Wave, you know, I always say it, Catch the Wave continued. Hooray! Then, what is coming up in Joshi? Well, we were just talking about it. Stardom has a Corican Hall show just hours from now on June 30th. It will most likely have happened by the time this episode comes out, but it is headlined by Suzu Suzuki defending her newly won World of Stardom title against Utami. Fascinating match. What will happen?
We'll have to see. That's a match that's completely up in the air.
I think Utami wins. That's my official prediction.
She could, but I could also see Saya interfering or something. Like, I think there are ways that both of them... There's clear paths to both of them winning.
Well, we will see, and then that result will affect Stardom having another Cork. Well, it won't affect them having the show, but
yeah, if Suzu wins, they're not running that show.
There's another Corican Hall show on July 8th. Obviously, no card announced for that yet. Kelly, the weirdest show, certainly of the next 2 weeks, is Senjo the Biggest, a big Sendai Girls show coming up on July 12th. Let me just read you this very odd card. I think it's very odd. Yuro Suzuki and Hiroyu Matsumoto will face off against Sayori Ano and Ryu Mizunami. Saya Iida will face off in a singles match against Manami. Aja Kong will team with Miku Kanai to take on Reina Takano and Yuna. Super Sasadango Machine will face off against Daisuke Sakamoto.
Yes, yes, normal match, normal match.
Jaguar Yokota, Unagi Sayaka, Sarah, who is a parkour artist from the Uptown promotion,
parkour,
will team with Senjo Dai Cannon, who I believe is the human representation of a Japanese statue. I think.
Sure.
They will take on Stephanie Mays, Anita Vaughn, Sapphire Reed, and Kurishio Ikemen Japan.
Oh, no.
Oh. Spike Nishimura will challenge for the junior title against Senka Akatsuki. a match they've run like 8,000 times, I think, at this point. Right?
I think so, yeah.
I feel like every time I'm looking at a Sendai Girls show, they're running this match. There are only two young wrestlers in the whole promotion. And then we have Big Red Energy. Red Energy, Miyuki Takase, and Mika Iwata defending against Bob Bob, Momo Banana, Mia Momono, and Yurika Oka for the tag titles. And then the very fun main event, Chihiro Hashimoto will defend the Sendai Girls World title against Veni. So a very interesting show there.
And the section with the middle part of that show with the Sasadango machine match and then the Jiro match, that section is going to be like an hour and a half.
Yeah. That's why I said it's a weird show.
Like, you take those two matches out, and this is that's a pretty killer card. And it still is a good card. But it's got a big ass like lead weight right in the center of it.
And then Diana, this is the other title weirdness that I was talking about, has a show on July 5th that will be headlined by Unagi Saika and Haruka Umasaki against Ayako Sato and Hanako Nakamori for the tag titles. But Miran will defend the Crystal title against Coco. You may remember Coco from her appearances in Marigold. Here's the thing. You can only defend the Crystal title three times. And this is Miran's third defense. Meaning, no matter what happens, she cannot retain the title.
But why?
She will either lose the title to Coco, or she will win the match and have to give up the title.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, it would make sense if, okay, you win. You cashed it, and now you cash in that for a title shot of some sort, right? Like, that makes sense.
Well, you would hope, but...
Like, you could almost do it like how how it worked in Chikara to get a title shot. You won three matches in a row.
Yes.
Like... That makes sense. Not being just like, all right, you give it up now. That's bizarre.
And then finally, Catch the Wave will come to an end. The finals are also on July 12th. And that is everything. Coming up in Joshi next time, we're here. We'll probably be talking some big Stardom results. We'll be talking... Probably Senjo the Biggest. Come back and find out what Kelly thinks about Senjo Dai Cannon.
I'm actually very interested to see what that's going to be. I hope Senjo Dai Cannon makes their entrance before Jiro. So I can just see them and then
hit
the skip button.
But now we've reached the end of the episode, so it's time for Kelly's Corner.
Kelly's Corner, what are we going to talk about? I haven't really prepared anything. Pretty much right before the show, I got in a shipment. I got in some new DVDs from, or Blu-rays, I should say, from Vinegar Syndrome that I'm excited to watch. They had their sale within the past couple of months, and finally they shipped out everything. As I'm furiously scrolling my email to find the confirmation. Did you get anything on the sale?
I did, but I'm also a subscriber, so I get things from them every month. I have legitimately hundreds of movies I haven't watched.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I'll watch these, and then by the time I go to watch, I have more.
Yep. I got the Human Lanterns. That was the thing I was really excited about.
I do have Human Lanterns, yes.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Along with that, I got Reptilicus and Yongari Monster from the Deep, filling out my kaiju movie collection. I got a movie called The Sadness that I heard about a bunch of years ago that sounded horrifying and interesting. So that seems like a movie that I might just inflict upon others. And then I got the movie Detention, which I watched during the pandemic. Remember during the pandemic when film festivals just went online and how awesome that was?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Like, that was so sick. I watched Detention then, and I haven't seen it since. So I grabbed the physical copy of it. So I'm excited to watch that again.
All right. Well, that is all for us here on Jumping Bomb Audio. But we will be back with you in now less than 2 weeks' time. So until then, goodbye.
Thanks for making this your first episode.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns on individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.